Omaha Public Radio presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. Today's guest speaker will be Reverend Daniel Hendrickson, S.J., the 25th president of Creighton University. Father Hendrickson was installed as president of Creighton on July 1, 2015, succeeding Father Timothy Lannan. Father Hendrickson will talk about his background, his previous connections with Creighton, and what he sees that the future holds for the university. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, February 25, 2016, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Hugh Cowden, a member of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee.
Today we are privileged to have as our guest the Reverend Daniel Hendrickson of the Society of Jesus, who last July 1st became the 25th president of Creighton University, succeeding Father Timothy Lannan. Father Hendrickson is a native of Nebraska and a graduate of Mount Michael Benedictine High School in Elkhorn. He earned his BA in psychology and theology at Marquette University in Milwaukee in 1993 and entered the Society of Jesus in 1994. He received his MA in degree in philosophical resources from Fordham University, a Master of Divinity degree from the Jesuit School of Theology at Santa Clara University, and an MA and PhD degrees from Columbia University. One of the few people I know with three master's degrees. Since 2012, Father Hendrickson had been at Marquette University as Associate Vice President in the Office of the Executive Vice President, working closely with the President, Provost, and Academic Deans. He later became an Associate Provost for Academic Initiatives at Marquette. He was elected to the Creighton Board of Trustees in 2013 and also serves on the boards of Boston College and Fordham University. Father Hendrickson's first contact with Creighton was as a student in the Jesuit Humanities Program in 1996, 2 years after he joined the order. He returned to Creighton as an adjunct instructor of philosophy from 2000 to 2003. He also served as an adjunct professor with Creighton's Institute for Latin American Concern in Santiago, the Dominican Republic, in 2002. Father Hendrickson comes from a family of educators. His identical twin, D. Scott Hendrickson, S.J., is an assistant professor of modern languages at Loyola University in Chicago. And his older brother, Ryan Hendrickson, Ph.D., is a political science professor and interim dean of the graduate school at Eastern Illinois University. The Omaha Press Club is honored to be able to welcome back the home, the Reverend Daniel Hendrickson, S.J., the new president of Creighton University.
Thank you very much, Hugh. It's good to be here today at the Press Club, and I'll just offer some remarks about the start of my presidency here and also some context about my life, and then we'll open it up for questions and conversation. I promise you I was rooting last night at the basketball game between Creighton and Marquette. I was rooting for Creighton, for the hometown team and my institution, but I salute Marquette for their victory. We, of course, were at Marquette just a couple of weeks ago, and I was happy to return. It's my first return, actually, back to the city of Milwaukee and to Marquette since leaving there last May to start my presidency here on July 1st. But in going back to Marquette just a couple of weeks ago, Creighton, of course, won that game, but I was so happy to be approached by numerous students that I got to know over the last 3 years at that university. And somebody described, actually Bruce Rasmussen, our athletic director, described how wonderfully respectful they were, and they came up and actually kind of lined up to see me at the basketball game and to shake my hand and say hello. And he saw this from afar, and I said, well, Bruce, what you don't know is they weren't all that respectful, because when they were greeting me, they were saying, we're going to squash you tonight, and other kinds of things about the competition. Of course, we did end up winning that game. Again, it's just good to be here. Hugh gave you some of the background of my life. I'm just going to repeat a little bit of that. I did grow up in the Fremont area. I went off to Mount Michael Benedictine High School and really enjoyed a great formative education there. My brothers and I, the three of us, my identical twin and my older brother, we're all in higher education right now, and we credit that to some extent to the education we had with the monks in boarding school. That was five-day boarding at that time, so we were home every weekend. It was just a really rich environment of mentoring, of challenge in the athletics and in the classroom, and also something I think that spurred just good thoughtfulness in our lives, and also a desire, as the monks were impactful in the lives of students and led lives of dedication around faith and service, I think the seeds about how to live like that were planted in our lives. So two of us are in the priesthood and not Benedictine monks, but it's not certainly because we didn't choose a life that was unattractive, but a life that I think was more fitting to us with the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits. So I met the Jesuits at Marquette University, and I actually just tell you a little story about the Jesuits there. I didn't know a thing about the Society of Jesus when I went off to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and started at Marquette University. And I met the Jesuits there. And as I was getting settled as a freshman, I recalled that in my boarding school years, I used to like to go to Vespers at the Mount Michael Benedictine boarding school. And just to enjoy the chanting of the monks and their prayer, and they chant the psalms numerous times during the day, actually. But Vespers in the evening was always a nice time just to be reposed and reflective. So when I got to Marquette University, I called the Jesuit residence. And I later learned that the priest who picked up the phone was a man by the name of Father Bob Purcell. And I said, "Father, what time do you guys pray Vespers?" And there was a long pause on the phone because it's just such a different practice from the Jesuit way of praying. And so he actually said something quite funny. After the long pause, he said, "Son, we don't pray. At least we don't pray like that." And then he said, "You have a lot to learn about the Jesuits." Well, I learned a lot about the Jesuits, and I was just increasingly fascinated with the Society of Jesus. Something happened during my first year at Marquette University in 1989 in November, my very first semester. Six Jesuits were killed in another country at a different Jesuit institution of higher learning for their work, doing much of the similar kind of work I was seeing with the Jesuits there in Milwaukee. The Jesuits in San Salvador, El Salvador, at the University of Central America, were murdered. And they were murdered because they were teaching people to think differently about the oppression and poverty of their lives. Two women were also murdered with them. But it was, as I was trying to understand who and what are Jesuits, what does it mean to be at a Jesuit institution of higher learning, what does it mean to be in core curricular studies here in Milwaukee at this great place, then I also learned about the global impact of Jesuit higher education, and especially the education which was speaking to life and death issues for people in a different context. I entered the Jesuits after being at Marquette. I took a year off. I actually, with my identical twin and with three of our classmates from high school, the class of 1989, we all went back, five of us, to Mount Michael and taught an alumni teaching corps. It was a great program. We were deans of students, we were coaches, we were doing a lot of the work of the monks, actually. We lived in the monastery also. That was where they had the volunteer teaching corps housing unit. We had a great year of teaching and working with the students. I used that year to decide that I wanted to enter the Jesuits, and in fact, the Creighton Jesuits here were inspirational to me in helping make my discernment for that. But I guess that's kind of a big part of my history is moving off to the Jesuit novitiate then that following year in 1994 in the Twin Cities. And I began what was at that point about a 13-year program of training in the Society of Jesus to be a Jesuit, and a lot of that based on education and on global travel, global immersion and service experiences. And I'd be happy to talk about some of that later. I just want to emphasize something that Hugh also mentioned, that I've had three great engagements of Creighton University in the last number of years. After starting with the Jesuits for 2 years, I was asked to come here to study in the Jesuit Humanities Program, which we overlook from this perspective. It's down there on 19th Street. It closed a number of years ago. But young Jesuits for many years used to come to Creighton University just to gratuitously, freely, leisurely study the humanities and to increase the sensitivities for the impact that studies of them have in our own lives and studies about those around us. And that was a very good year. And in that year, I was with some of the best teachers I've had in my life in a lot of different institutions of education. Some of those teachers, many of those teachers, are still on campus, and they're still teaching and still having a great impact on the lives of students. I came back then in the year 2000 for 3 years to teach in the Department of Philosophy. What a privilege to ask students what they think about their lives, to ask students what they think about faith and if there's a God and what that kind of God means to them, and to ask students what they might dream about in their lives or the way the world works. Philosophy lets us ask very personal questions about and of our own students, and the content evokes the raw content of our lives, I think. So I was just so pleased to be teaching philosophy throughout those 3 years, and the Creighton students then were fantastic and are just as terrific today. I find the Creighton students to be very hardworking. I find them to be very genuine. And then with the great invitation of my predecessor president, Father Tim Lannan, a great man, he invited me to be a trustee for the institution a few years ago. So it's then that I came back at another level yet to be able to see the great work of Creighton University and to understand it from the perspective of trustees who govern the institution with great fiduciary responsibility and who help the president and the provost and senior administrators dream about where Creighton can go in its future. So then I got elected president, and I'm in my first year, and it's really been quite great. It feels like a blink of the eye, and we're all of a sudden 8 or 9 months down the road. It's going along very quickly. My year, as I look at it, and this is just very simple terms, the first semester has been defined by listening sessions, some formal listening sessions with student groups and then faculty groups and then staff groups, but also listening sessions to anyone really who invited me into their department or to their college, and a lot of people took advantage to do that. So I did a lot of listening in my first number of months, and that was a rich experience. It also gave me the time to start speaking about issues of vision and interest of mine, which I'll share with you in just a minute here. But I had a good first semester. I didn't really go many places at all. Alternatively, this semester, I'm on the road quite a bit. I'm with the advancement team, a great team of individuals who have built up relationships over the years with our friends and alumni and parents and so many constituents of the institution. We're out meeting people in Naples, Florida, in Washington, D.C., in Phoenix, most recently in Palm Desert, soon up to the Twin Cities, to Denver, to Chicago. And we're just telling the Creighton story and trying to give an indication of an exciting new chapter in the life of our university. Just to remind you, if you haven't heard, we are enjoying record enrollments, the highest enrollment of the institution at a time, I'll remind you, at a time of very difficult and challenging demographics for enrollment for institutions of higher learning. Creighton is breaking records. We have 8,435 students total. And our freshman class, who entered with us this past August, their number was up to the highest for that class ever, that cohort, and the smartest, but that class is up to about 1,070. We're just too shy of that number. We have a very impressive class with remarkable scores from their high school years. We also, for the 13th year in a row, have the number one Midwest ranking in U.S. News and World Report, and this, of course, always excites us. But it doesn't surprise us because we know that we do pretty good work at Creighton University. And then something that we're really trying to get the word out about is our undergraduate research productivity. For 2 years in a row now, we are one of only 49 institutions of higher learning who win marks for undergraduate research work at our institution. And it's really quite wonderful. We are also the only of the Jesuit schools, of the 28 in the United States, the only Jesuit school to have that demarcation. Some of the things I'm focusing on is, well, I told you I was at Creighton a number of years ago studying the humanities. I'm trained as a philosopher. I got my PhD, as Hugh said, from Columbia University in a program called Philosophy of Education. I'm focusing on the humanities, and I was with the deans early in July, one of my first formal meetings with the institution, with our president's council, the deans from dentistry and medicine and pharmacy and law and business. We have 9 colleges and schools. It's a really complex institution. When I talk to presidents of other Jesuit schools, they kind of look at me and shake their heads. They say, I don't know how you do that with 9 colleges and schools. It's part of the wonder, though, of the university, and it's part of the enrollment interest as well. But I talked to the deans of these professions and areas of expertise and a lot in the health sciences, and I said, I want us to focus on the humanities, but it's not to the alienation of what you do in your work in science and law and business and so forth. But it's to recognize that we can talk about a dentist, or we can also talk about a Creighton dentist. We know about a doctor. We can talk about a Creighton doctor. We can talk about a politician. We can talk about a Creighton politician. And I think this is part of understanding the core curricular studies we have at the undergraduate level and the other kinds of programming we have in the graduate and professional schools help remind us who we are and what we should be studying. And a lot of that comes from the liberal arts. So we're working on, again, telling the story of what it means to be at a Jesuit institution in the Catholic Church. And I think the study of the humanities is an important part of that reality. Commentators today, people who write about the problems and the difficulties and the troubles in higher learning in the United States, they say Catholic institutions are saving the humanities, and that's not insignificant. Creighton University will do that in a very special way. Another interest of mine is global outreach, global perspective. And I would say in the last 10 or 15 years, I've driven the Jesuits crazy because I've traveled so much, and I've been to probably 30 different countries. There's some other Jesuits who have traveled quite a bit also, but it's an important part of my formation. The Society of Jesus has asked me to take assignments in gritty places of our world, in Northeast India, in South America. Through Creighton, I was with the ILAC program, the Institute for Latin American Concern, in the Dominican Republic. I spent my first year of being a priest in Tanzania, and I got malaria twice. And it was one of the best years of my life. I was teaching philosophy in an institution in Morogoro, not Ngorongoro Crater, but Morogoro, Tanzania, the middle of the country, the breadbasket area of Tanzania, and a place virulent with malaria, as I said. It was a wonderful year. And I'm still in touch. That was 2006. It's 10 years later. I'm still in touch with some of those students from Africa. My students were Sub-Saharan International from South Africa, Botswana, Lesotho, Kenya, Uganda, Ethiopia, Eritrea, the Congo, all over that swath of Sub-Saharan Africa. And so I also got to learn something about the difference of their lives, their cultures, their customs, their dialects. So what are we going to do with global perspective at Creighton University? One, we're going to tell a better story about what we're doing globally. We're going to remind people that we've been in the Dominican Republic with all of our programs, the health sciences, law, business, the undergraduate studies, with all of our programs for 40 years. And Creighton University flexes its 9 colleges and schools through programming in the DR each year. We also have enjoy relationships in Saudi Arabia and in China, and we have students in study abroad experiences that are not atypical to standard kind of experiences in Western Europe. We have students who go off to service and immersion learning programs in other countries in difficult circumstances. So we're going to continue doing that, but we're going to take another step on the global stage, and we're doing so with seed funding money that I raised at the time of my inauguration in October. We have about $4 million in the bucket. And in just a couple of months, a large committee of faculty, staff, and students representing the whole university, 25 individuals, will help give out $2 million of that, half of it, for proposals related to global perspective. It might mean that more of us go different places. We get students in the international sector of our world to be traveling and to engage in other people and cultures and customs. It might mean that we bring more of the world to us, right here in Omaha, Nebraska, in the downtown district, right on our campus, in speaker series, other kinds of students, other engagements. I'm not sure what that's going to look like. But it also might mean that we better understand global issues that impact this city that we live in, with refugees, with climate change and so forth, race relations. So I'm really excited to see how this first round of the Creighton Global Initiative unfolds this April when we give out the awards. Just a couple of other things, and I'll see what your questions are. We received a very generous gift to the university at the time that I started, $2 million devoted to programming and Catholic social teaching, and a lot of this is related to the Holy Father of the Catholic Church, to Pope Francis. He is a Jesuit, and we are a Jesuit institution. We're very animated by the challenges that he's offering, a couple of them. A new way of speaking about what it means to be church. He loves the church, and he continues to embrace its policies and its great teachings. But he's asking us to focus on the poor and the underprivileged, and we want to do that at Creighton University. We want to join the Pope in doing that. His Laudato Si, his encyclical that came out, one of his first major works came out earlier this year, talks about sustainability and problems with ecology and the integral realities of that. It's a good term for us at Creighton. We pride ourselves as being a great community, integrally related and working with one another. He talks about the integral realities of sustainability and climate change and how they impact all of us. So we're following the lead of Pope Francis. I'm not sure quite yet what we're going to do with our Catholic Social Teaching Fund, but we're excited to implement it. We're also in this new relationship with Catholic Health Initiatives, and so we have a facility that we can see from this perspective also being built at 24th and Cumming, a new ambulatory center. It's a clinic that replaces some of our hospital work on 30th. And then we have an academic and clinical building being built out at Bergen Mercy, where we have our new clinical relationship through our medical school. Just a couple of things here, and then I'm done ready for your questions. Another focus of mine, maybe just to say it, a final focus of mine for this conversation, is about our mission, that we are Catholic and we are Jesuit. I think you hear that through my emphasis on the humanities and for global outreach, for celebrating who and what we are as an institution. But we're excited at Creighton. As I mentioned at my inauguration, we will not step lightly into our future, but we'll do so boldly, but also with great support and friendship that Creighton celebrates with the city of Omaha and friends from really all over the world. Let me see if you have any questions.
It's been fun having lunch with Father Hendrickson. I happen to have a couple of degrees, a bachelor's and a master's from Marquette, back in 1953 and 1960. We don't have many friends in common because most of my friends are dead. So, what kind of scholarship opportunities can you offer student prospects? Private colleges, universities, and universities are very expensive. Excuse me.
Tuition is a problem around the United States today in the level of higher learning at all institutions. We will start, sooner than later, a new capital campaign for the university, a tremendous fundraising effort. We're ready to do this. We've been working a lot just this year as I've onboarded myself, but one of our focus areas will be in the area of endowment, which lets us raise money particularly for students and for scholarship, but also research for faculty. But we want to focus on issues related to diversity. I spoke at my first presidential convocation just a couple of weeks ago back on campus, and I named some action items I'm interested in. One of them is to diversify. Those listening sessions I talked about a while ago, talking with faculty, talking with staff, and talking with students, each and every group said we need to be more diverse, and they're right. Creighton is diverse in some ways, and we can grow in that area. But one way is to do that through scholarships and through gaining the support and resources from friends who want to help us support students who should be here but can't be here because they can't afford it.
Do you anticipate any more campus expansion? What about any other changes that we may anticipate?
The students keep asking about a swimming pool, and I'm a swimmer. And we closed our pool a few years ago. That's not a top priority item, but if somebody wants to give us a pool, let's talk. The Schlegel years, the Schlegel presidency was about expansion. I suspect that expansion will not be a hallmark or a character of my work. But we'll continue to use some of the expansion that Father Schlegel provided for the university, which was a new and extra 40 acres to our campus footprint. We have some great capital projects in the works. We want to build a new dental school. We're ready to do that. We have some fundraising goals we're going to achieve, but we're going to move forward in that as soon as we can. We have some other campus projects like a library and other kinds of things that a facility for interprofessional health education. a Jesuit residence. We have a number of things that we're interested in talking about for capital projects. But we right now have pretty good space to work with.
Can you speak about the challenges? A couple of questions on this topic. Can you speak about the challenges to liberal arts education by business and other job-related programs?
At the time I was talking with the President's Council of the University back in July and with the academic deans of the health sciences, business law, and so forth, at that time Forbes, Wall Street Journal, the Atlantic Monthly, even in the New York Times, four major publications wrote about the value of the study of the humanities in the business professions in particular, that businesses, banking, they want people who can think critically and sharply and can speak eloquently and who can write and who can communicate their stories and so forth, but also people who can bring ethical regard to their workplaces. The humanities are of great value. They give great skills. And so the liberal arts and the humanities, I think we need to continue recognizing them as pathways into the professions, but also as the substance of life and of our souls.
I can remember a question that was asked of the late President Ford before he died. If you were to go back to college, what would be the first courses you would take? And without even taking a breath, he said, writing and speaking. So anyway, what are your impressions? You've talked about Pope Francis, but what are your impressions of Pope Francis?
Well, I think he's wonderful. He kind of makes me nervous because you never quite know what he's going to do or say. And yet he brings a joyfulness to his work. He looks like he's having fun. And, he's doing good work and hard work. But he's an inspiration. And in that, he's also a challenge. As I mentioned just a little bit ago, he's calling our attention to the poor and the dispossessed. In any international visit he attends, anywhere he always goes to a prison. I mean, there's themes now we can start to recognize in his outreach and in his work. He speaks, I think, very pointedly to the places where he goes in the context of the lives there. But he's drawing our attention to a new sensitivity and an important one.
This is a question from a dad. I'm a dad and a firm believer in the importance of Catholic and even better Jesuit education, but I struggle with the cost and the sacrifice that families must make to afford a Catholic education. Costs go up 3.5% a year.
Well, it's also an investment into a life. It's an investment into a very important and transformative experience. I wish that tuition was lower at any of our institutions, the Catholic and the Jesuit ones, private schools, even state institutions. But I really do think that the kinds of experiences that students can get at a place that is Catholic and Jesuit, the formation through mentoring and for faculty who are dedicated to mission and to staff who take care of people through expressions of what we say is cura personalis, this is really it's an investment that's not always easy, but it's an investment that I think that has dividends for years to come. And I also think that it brings students of Jesuit higher learning, Catholic higher learning, with other like-minded individuals who want to be part of a faith environment and a place that focuses on service, a place that gives core curricular studies. They're specialized environments. If we can bring the cost down, we will, and we certainly would want to and would try to, and we do that through the resources and friendships we have through fundraising. But it's a tension we live with.
Do you see an answer to the lack of Catholic priests?
We need more people like Father Dahl, who's here, and Father Hauser from the university. Do I see an answer? I'll say this. I don't know if there's a Pope Francis effect right now, but our Jesuit novitiate here in the Midwest, the program where we admit guys into the first couple of years of Jesuit life and the preliminary years of boot camp, if you will, our numbers are burgeoning. And so we're buying new property up in St. Paul at our Jesuit novitiate program just to be able to get guys into the program. So we're quite excited about this. Is this related to our Jesuit Pope? I don't know if it is or isn't. But numbers have been steady and slightly better for us in the last few years. But I want to say this too, that the Catholic Church and Jesuit institutions in particular, we have great partners in mission. We have women and we have men dedicated to doing the work of the Society of Jesus in parishes and in our schools. And so we have great programs that train Ignatian colleagues is what we call them, the Ignatian Colleagues Program, or Creighton Colleagues also. The Ignatian Colleagues is a program we send two or three of our top administrators each year to join other top administrators from around the United States of Jesuit institutions, and they enjoy an 18-month formative experience in the fundamentals of Ignatian perspective of the Society of Jesus, of the Jesuits. They do retreats. They go on service projects. They read the documents of the Jesuits. And so as we get excited that we have sustained interest in the Society of Jesus and in the priesthood, and as we continue to invite young men to join us in that life, we also continue to work with the women and men who want to be part of the mission of our work.
Will the Big East expand?
I have a lot to learn as president, and NCAA athletics is one of the areas where I have a really sharp learning curve. The one of my first meetings back of the first semester was with the Big East presidents and athletic directors out in New York City. We meet two or three times a year. We have another one coming up during the Big East tournament at Madison Square Garden. I think there continues to be some discussion about possibilities for expansion. I think it'll be very strategic, whatever it is. And there aren't any answers to that question right now. But I think if there was an opportunity to expand the network and the quality and such of the conference, we would look to do that. I'm very happy that Creighton's in the Big East. And it's when I was out in Washington, D.C., that was one of the groups. Our groups, by the way, around the United States that we've been meeting with, we've been getting great numbers, about 200, 250 in each of the cities. We had a great crowd in Washington right in the middle of that big snowstorm a few weeks ago. And so we were worried nobody would come, but they all showed up and they said, we're so sick of being homebound, we came out anyway. So it was great to see them. But that crowd was particularly young, 25, 30, 35 years old. And they were just effusive about their excitement about the Big East because people in their workplace in Washington, D.C., in politics or business, more and more people are recognizing what Creighton University is, where it is, Omaha, Nebraska. And you know, they associate that with really great schools like Marquette University and Georgetown and other great places. So I'm excited for the Big East, and I think it's also the profile is good for us and the national networking has been important.
There are conservative Catholics and then not so conservative. Where do you place yourself on that spectrum?
I think our time's up, actually. I tell you what, I'm not an issue specific Catholic, I can tell you that much. I love the church, and it's important to my family. My identical twin brother's a Jesuit priest. I don't know how to place myself really on the spectrum. I'll have to go around Creighton University and see what people think there. We can poll them. But the church is a great place, and I'm privileged to be a priest in the church and to do so as a Jesuit through the Society of Jesus and its works. It's a really exciting life. The being a priest and being part of the church has let me just work so personally with families and individuals over the years, and it's really yielded as men who take a vow of celibacy and don't enjoy a married life, it has yielded some of the most wonderful intimacy in my life with people in my ministry, and it's just been quite life-giving.
How does Creighton fit into the larger context of higher education, aside from the humanities? How does it stay competitive in an ever-changing and fast-paced environment?
I mentioned just a bit ago one of our capital projects in the near future will be about the facilities for interprofessional health services. That's one area where Creighton is a pioneer right now. We are bringing together our nurses, our dentists, our doctors in the medical school, OT, PT, pharmacy. We're bringing together our health professions in a new collaborative model of instruction that that patient care is more and more collaborative, and we're on the front end of that. And so we have our administrators and our faculty already going around the United States speaking at different conferences about interprofessional health relationships and the clinical work we're doing and the importance of that collaboration. That's just one area. I could give a whole list of other kinds of areas with related to about $7 or $8 million we have just currently in NIH grants. We have just a tremendous faculty. This sounds actually kind of funny, but I'll say it anyway. Back to those listening sessions, you know, I said, "What excites you about Creighton?" The students said, "We have great faculty. Our teachers here are tremendous." The staff said, "We have great faculty. They're really powerful." The faculty said, "We have great faculty." And but it's true. Creighton is a place of teaching and of learning, and it's something distinctive about us. And just the matrix of the kinds of programs we have lets very seasoned faculty members, very seasoned professors, continue to work with undergraduate students. And that's not insignificant. Their time isn't just closed away and shut off in laboratories or with graduate students or dissertation work. That's all good, and it's important. And some of that happens at Creighton also. But we have some of our best professors, our best research workers, working directly with students. And that's important about the Creighton reality.
Before you arrived, the Creighton Faculty Council faculty council members unanimously passed a vote of no confidence in the strategic plan handed down by the board because they felt that the plan was more suited to a corporation than to a university. How is that being resolved?
It's my understanding that strategic plans for institutions run the course of about 3 to 5 years. And the strategic plan that I inherited with the university was in about its third year. And as I went around and talked with key stakeholders of the institution, to the deans, to faculty and staff, and to students, I realized that the timing is pretty good for a couple of reasons to have a new strategic plan. One, the institution with me has a new president. And because of the plan that we had been continued to use and work with was in its third year, I thought timing's pretty good now to move ahead in something a little bit different. Secondly, we have a new board chair. So we have another new position of important leadership and another kind of expression of governance of the institution. And so Mike and I and the trustees, Mike McCarthy is our board chair. He's wonderful. You know, we talked about my decision that I wanted to actually close the plan down. That plan has been controversial in that some of the process of the plan has been criticized by certain members of the institution, as well as the communication mechanisms around it. On the other hand, I also learned that the university has, for some people, has been more collaborative and more productive in some areas of the institution than any time in its history. And so we've had people find some frustration with it and even feel alienated by it, and others who say that they're just working wonderfully together to move forward. So I thought, you know, whatever the plan is, who's ever happy with it or not happy with it, it's time for something different. We have a new president and a new board chair, and the timing was just really good to move forward differently. We're just now in the process to think about planning, actually, and so I announced using a tool of the tradition of the Society of Jesus of the Jesuits, I'm asking the university to be particularly thoughtful, to be reflective, and we'll do that through what the Society of Jesus called the examen of consciousness. So we're doing area examens this semester, and we're asking each of the units, each of the departments, right down on the ground, to think about what it means to be in history or in purchasing or in catering, what all the different wonderful realities of Creighton University, what it means to be part of the institution and to contribute to its mission and identity as Catholic and Jesuit, and then to help us all dream about where we can move forward in the future.
How is it that Creighton has been able to successfully operate a medical school while, as I understand it, none of the other Jesuit universities around the country have been able to do it?
We're one of four Jesuit medical schools, and it's just, it goes to the faculty. It goes to the work that the medical school doing for so many years. It has it's a great and important reality of the institution. And the new relationship with CHI is helping us grow in different ways and enjoy different opportunities related to the work. It's an important part of enrollment of the institution. The students are going off to college today. They like places like Creighton because of all the different kinds of studies and programs that we have. The medical school is one of those realities.
What would you consider to be Creighton's biggest challenge right now?
I think our challenge now and the challenge of the past few years and the challenge of the years ahead of us are about resources. We're a strong institution, but we continue to look for help from our friends, from the city, from foundations to continue to let us to grow and to continue to be an institution that pioneers forward in different kinds of programs and research. Updating our facilities and being state-of-the-art. So resources will always be a challenge. It's particularly poignant, so, given the economic changes and challenges that happened back in 2008. This is a game-changer for higher education. It changed philanthropy. It changed funding sources from state and federal agencies. I almost make it sound like there's a scramble for resources, and maybe that's not all that inaccurate. But we enjoy great friendships with so many people, and we'll continue to seek their help and to steward their resources very wisely.
Last Thanksgiving, you wrote an essay in the World Herald about St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuit order, with particular emphasis on the concept of gratitude, of thankfulness. When I mention that virtue, what is it, besides a very talented men's basketball coach, that first comes to your mind about the new job?
It's the students. I was with a group of young alums last night who joined me at the university for conversation just about my job and my leadership, a great group of individuals, about 30 of us together. And someone said, you know, what do you like most about your job? Which I think is not dissimilar to the question you're asking. And it's the students. I think the staff would say the same. I think the faculty would say the same. I think the administrators would say the same. We're there because of the students. It's the reason of the institution and the kind of transformation we can offer in their lives. Our students are great, and they speak about their hopes. They voice their challenges. It's just wonderful to watch them unfold and to grow. And they teach us a lot also.
You know, I might mention Father Lannan was here 5 years ago doing the same thing. And he talked about having a golf instructor when he went out on the driving range with his friends. And he talked about going up to the tee and swinging at the golf ball. And the instructor said, you're doing okay, you're doing fine, but why do you kill the ball? Why do you swing so hard? He said to the crowd, if you had been celibate as long as I have, you'd swing hard too. I want to thank Father Hendrickson for spending his valuable time, some of it with us this afternoon, giving us some insight into the operations. The Omaha Press Club wishes him all the best in his important new role. I also want to thank our audience for their questions, and our thanks to our KIOS radio audience as well. And with that, we are adjourned.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. Today's guest speaker has been Daniel Hendrickson, S.J., the 25th president of Creighton University. Father Hendrickson was installed as president of Creighton on July 1, 2015, succeeding Father Timothy Lannan. Father Hendrickson talked about his background, his previous connections with Creighton, and what he sees that the future holds for the university. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, February 25, 2016, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club presents these noontime educational forums each month. The next program will be on Thursday, March 17th at 12 noon. At that time, the guest speaker will be Anne Marie Kudlatz, Executive Director of Omaha's Refugee Empowerment Center. She'll talk about the refugee process, legal status, agency programs, and local community impact. If you'd like to attend this or other future programs in the series, call the Omaha Press Club at 402-345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge in downtown Omaha. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 500 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.